Wendy Khan, a very, very good morning. How
good
are you?
Good morning. Well, thank you.
Good. So you've had a very busy week.
We have indeed. A very, very exciting week and a very important week, not just for the Jewish community, but I think for South African society.
Well, I think that's what's so important. And what I want to do is just ask you, if you don't mind, to go back, because this is a 10-year-old story that is finally, it is 10 years, right?
It's been 10 years, exactly. And just over, in fact, maybe 10 and a half years.
So I mean, this has gone on a long time. Most people who are not engaged in it, we sort of hear in it, our peripheral hearing. Like, we kind of hear about it, but we don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
So take us through it. What actually happened 10 or 10 and a half years
ago? Well, I will, but I mean, I think that the interesting thing is that the students who were being threatened, and I'll talk a little bit about that, are now out of university,
right,
got their careers, got five children, doing the gardening. They're not, right. You know, they've moved on. And when we were looking for witnesses for this case, people were saying, oh, but that was then. And that's the issue, is that when the incident happens, everybody's very gung-ho and lay the charges and go to court and whatever. Well, we've been there now for 10 years.
I think it's an important comment about a lot of times we see quite a negative reaction to the South African Jewish Board of Deputies. Why aren't they fighting this? Why aren't they taking this on? They need to do this, etc. And it's all very well, but you can't, but this case shows you that the cases that you take on, you've got to take on and you've got to deal with them. And every case, not every case is going to last 10 years or 10 and a half years, but the point is that
it could last.
And you've got to consider it very carefully. And maybe people need to be a little bit sensitive to that, because whilst they're very excitable around this issue on one Wednesday morning when it happens, by the next week Wednesday, they've forgotten about it. And this charge that the Board of Deputies needs to take this on and deal with it is great at the time, but they're not the ones that are stuck with it.
And I think that, that 10 years later, you've got to be there. You've got to be there with your advocates. You've got to be there with your lawyers. Mm. It's a massive, massive commitment. And I mean, just within the next few weeks, there's going to be another case that happened exactly a year ago.
Right.
We've had private investigators actually working on that case.
Wow.
And those people will be coming to court. But these are long processes. And I think it is an important point. But let's get back to the actual case.
Exactly.
So 2009 was the end of the Gaza War. You'll remember the end of 2008, beginning of 2009 was the Gaza War. At the end of it, it was Israel apartheid week. So all of these themes come together.
Mm-hmm.
We keep saying that whenever Israel has a conflict, South African Jews are held accountable. And that was exactly what happened beginning of 2009. And Bongani Masuku, who was a leader in a trade union in Kusatu, he walked into a classroom at Wits University and he threatened Jewish students. Now he's saying, no, he didn't threaten Jewish students, he threatened Zionists in the classroom, but we've made it very clear, those students sitting in the classroom with kippot on their heads and sawdust t-shirts, the likelihood of them being Jewish was they were Jewish. He made some very, very aggressive statements to them there. Kusatu has a big leadership on the university. We know who you are. We are here. This is our campus.
Right.
He threatened to do harm. He spoke about marching to Orange Grove. Now, when you talk about Orange Grove,
is an embassy, is an Israeli embassy in Orange Grove.
Exactly. Right. And that's the point that we've made. Interesting, the reference to Orange Grove, which will come up later in the Constitutional Court and throughout our court appearances. When he says Orange Grove, and you will remember, that in 2009, there was that massive march by Kusatu on Biyachad, which they called the March on Orange Grove. Orange Grove being an area where there are many shuls, where there's lots of Jewish life in this area. Biyachad is here with all of our communal organizations. Right. That's where they marched.
Okay, so
they ended up, and this is also important, outside Sydenham Shul with swastikas, burning Israeli flags. It was a very, very hostile, horrible day. and Musuku referred to, "We know where you are in Orange Grove." Then there were blog sites. Then there were communications. There were lots of threats. If your son goes to fight in the IDF, we will come for the families. So with immediate effect. It was a very, very, very frightening statements that he made. We took him to the Human Rights Commission in 2009, and we got a finding at the end of the year of hate speech. And he was ordered to apologize. He never apologized. The Human Rights Commission, feeling very strongly about this case and the need to reinforce their findings, because just remember, the Human Rights Commission is not a judicial body. They need to enforce their findings. They took him to the Equality Court, and he appeared in the Equality Court in 2017. It was a seven-day trial in the High Court, grueling testimony. We brought two witnesses, one from the UK, David Hirsch, who is an expert in anti-Semitism, and it was the most fascinating conversation. What is Zionism? Is Zionism a religion? Is Zionism ethnicity? These are all important definitions in terms of the South African Equality Act. And then very much, can Zionists be, are all Zionists Jews? Are all Jews Zionists? All of these issues were being aired in the courtroom. Then we had an expert from America by the name of Professor Stanton in genocide studies. And it was very, very interesting, because a lot of the arguments in this case is he never threatened Jews, he threatened Zionists. And what Professor Stanton made very clear was that in Rwanda, when you when you spoke about cockroaches, everybody knew what you meant. You were talking about Tutsi.
In other words, it became
it's code.
That's so when you're talking about, I was wondering how you do that, because they will show, they will no doubt show the one, the minority of Jews who don't believe in Israel, and say, look, see, here's a Jew and he's not a Zionist.
Exactly. And we use the Kaplan survey in that, in that respect. And we say that we show how over 85% of Jews in this country have a strong, have a connection to Israel, whatever that connection might be. And also, just incidentally, on that particular, our advocate in the Constitutional Court, he said, if you were to say, we are going now to take on people in Mamelodi, we are going to do harm to people in Mamelodi, people know exactly what you're talking about. You're not going to target the white community in Mamelodi. They know exactly where you're going. And it was exactly the same with this case. So we got a very strong judgment in the Equality Court saying that this was hate speech, and he was called to apologize. Interestingly enough, we hadn't even asked for costs in the Equality Court, and he, the judge, issued a cost order against Kosatu, and that's how strong the judgment was. He then took it on appeal, and we appeared in the SCA, the Supreme Court of Appeal, in 2018. And it was a, you know, what was, has been considered as an incredibly flawed judgment. We lost the appeal. And it was, the legal fraternity was up in arms, because suddenly our whole country's hate speech legislation became a joke. And cases that are currently being heard were sort of put on the side, because nobody wanted a case to go to court, because there was no real definition in terms of the hate speech legislation. So everybody's been sort of holding their breath, and we have now taken this case. Well, the Human Rights Commission, on behalf of the Jewish Board of Deputies, now took the case to the Human Rights Commission.
So what is...
to the Human Rights Commission, to the Constitutional Court to appeal that judgment.
What are they looking at? I mean, do they go right back to the facts of the case, or do they look at the process that happened from a legal, from a procedural perspective? What does the Constitution
look at? So they look at everything. They look at absolutely everything that has come before. Certainly the testimony and the witnesses that were
So you don't have to bring all of those people
back? No, it was a one-day hearing. One day in the Constitutional Court. And they hear both the legal teams, but it was... what's very interesting is that this is not just a case that has huge significance for the South African Jewish community, although it does, and we'll talk about that. But it's got massive implications for every South African citizen and their protection in terms of the Equality Act.
Joining me in a studio at 7:34, Wendy Kahn. She is the director of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies, and we are talking about the Constitutional Court case that the hearing was this week. It was a one-day hearing. Yeah. How long do you think it'll take to come back?
I don't think anyone can really tell us. I think we shouldn't expect anything within the next 2-3 months, hopefully by the end of this year. But it's a massive case, and I think they're expecting different judgments and minority judgments, and I think it's going to be a really it's going to take them a long time to formulate this.
The question I think that is important to answer is why this is important, not just for South African Jews, but actually for South Africans. Mm.
So the SCA judgment was so, they got it so incredibly wrong. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to be able to give you all the intricacies around this act versus that act versus the Constitution versus this. That's not my job. But they got it spectacularly wrong. Journalist Pierre Defosse, for example, academic from UCT, he's written extensively on how bad the judgment was.
Which is interesting because he's not exactly a supporter of Israel.
Yeah, and that wasn't the issue. The issue was on the technical issue, on the legalities. But what was interesting is that it elicited such interest from the legal fraternity and from so many NGOs. So, for example, just to give you some of the amicus curiae, the friends of the court that joined the case, one of them was the South African Holocaust and Genocide Foundation. Wim Trengove, incidentally, was their advocate together with Carol Steinberg. Then there was the Psychological Society of South Africa, who argued on the principles and how dangerous this is in terms of protecting South Africans from hate. They, incidentally, are also involved in the John Quilani case, which also reached the SCA about a week ago. So this is really an important outcome for them. The Nelson Mandela Foundation came, and they also were one of the amicus. And they were also very concerned in how the interpretation of the hate speech legislation, the rule of law. And then on the other side, of course, you had the Freedom of Expression Institute, and you had the media monitoring South Africa, and that was represented by Gilbert Marcus. So you had, I would say, close on 20 advocates in the courtroom. It was quite a spectacle. You have your bench of judges, the 11 judges. On the day, there were 8. The presiding judge was Mokgweng Mokgweng, the chief justice. And I must say, I was just blown away by the questions and the deep understanding of the issues. It was quite an experience.
Was he there?
Yeah, Mokgweng Mokgweng.
No, Bongani.
Yes, he's been there right throughout. So we really, there were the
today?
7 days in Johannesburg High Court, then there was Bloemfontein,
so
and now here.
We
were very close. It was fun.
We chomped on bagels afterwards.
And of course, thank goodness I didn't wear my red dress, because there was lots of red in the courtroom, the Kasatu supporters.
How many of them were there?
I think it was
The picture in the Jewish
amusing. Yeah, you would think that there was a massive mob outside the courtroom. They certainly weren't. There were really a handful of Kasatu supporters. And then there were those in the courtroom. What was interesting is in when we were in the Johannesburg High Court, BDS was there in full form, and they weren't there this time,
because they had some challenges
of their own
issues
to deal with. It was interesting on that perspective, and then also again in terms of our issues, the questions, the defining of what is a Zionist was quite an important discussion again in the courtroom. What was important, and Wim Trengove spoke extensively on it, was the coding of language and the proxy language. And I think that that's very important, that you mustn't use the word Jew when you're threatening someone. You must use the word Zionist, because then you can get away with anything. And I'm hoping that this court is going to say, no, you can't, because right. we know what you meant.
Right.
When you said Orange Grove, we know what you meant.
Right.
When you said Nazis and your friend Hitler, we know what you meant.
But anybody who spends time on Twitter, in fact, some months ago, and I can't remember exactly when it was, somebody that trolls me on Twitter and likes to sort of Photoshop me into gas chambers and stuff. Lovely. I mean, really quality people.
Yes, no.
Quality.
He actually sent me,
and I don't know why this guy actually did this, if it's a guy you don't know who's obviously behind anything, but a list of words that they use for Jew.
Yes.
And obviously it keeps changing because they don't want to be banned by Twitter for hate speech. So they keep changing words. That is a sort of a signifier for Jew. And it's fascinating stuff.
Mm.
And that's exactly what you're really saying.
Exactly. And there was a lot of discussion on that because it's key. It's key to this case that, when you're threatening someone, you have to be accountable and and all we're asking for, and it was quite interesting because one of the justices turned around, Judge, Tehran,
mm-hmm.
and she said, what do you want? She asked the Human Rights Commission, what would your remedy be? And they said, and we stand by it. All we want is an apology. We want a public apology. We want Kasatu to put it on their website. We want an acknowledgement that what you did was unacceptable in South Africa, where we have protected speech. That's what we're looking for.
Absolutely unbelievable. And that's unfortunately where we do have to leave it, but well done.
Thank you.
I think that the fact that you guys you've continued fighting this relentlessly, haven't given up, which I think so many people would have. And I would imagine that that's what he counted on, that eventually people, you just run out of steam on this sort of thing. And money, yes, that's true.
But I think that what's important here is the precedent.
Absolutely.
We have
right.
to, first of all, get the definitions of hate speech correct. We have to get the precedents right. And just remember, these precedents are not just for South Africa. These are international precedents.
Right. Absolutely.
And we need to get those right. And we need to say in South Africa that there is no place for hate in this country.
Absolutely wonderful. Wendy Khan, well done, and keep fighting this important fight. It is 7:41.